I am Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
And we are still, you know, double negatives.
Yep, very much so.
I'm going to have to go look that up.
I'm not even going to try. It's Saturday.
And we have joining us from Thailand,
Thailand.
Evan Jasek. Are you there, Evan?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You have to yell really loud to be heard from Thailand.
Yeah, you actually pronounced my last name right, which is actually pretty impressive. Usually people say like Jasek or something, so that's I'm pretty impressed by that. So,
well, our names sound simple, but when you see the spelling, nobody ever gets it right. But anyway.
So, Evan, make sure that the string is really tight.
Yes, pull on that Dixie cup.
Okay, got you.
Okay, so you woke up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat and said, I got to 3D print an airplane.
Well, kind of. I kind of build like crazy things. I think, you know, what can I do that's crazy? And I was like, you know, there are many things. Like, I don't know if you've seen my video back in the day or when I first started this build, which was not too long ago, actually.
Right.
I always went to air show. Okay, yeah. So I always went to air shows when I was a child, and I always wanted to be like, I love jets. I love fast things. I love fast cars, jets. And I've always like, I want to fly a jet, and I just couldn't ever. I'm not able to fly a jet. Let's be honest. I'm getting to the age, I'm 38 now, or almost 38, and I just won't have the ability to fly jets. So I'm like, well, why don't I just build something that looks like a jet? And here I am, deep into the process after long months of CAD and designing it so I could start 3D printing my own plane, which is part 103. Well, I'm trying to make it part 103 capable, but yeah, I'm 3D printing an entire plane, which I have quite a bit built already. So.
Okay, let's talk. The first question is, what are you printing it out of? What material?
So I'm using two Bamboo Lab H2Ds. I'm printing it out of ASA carbon fiber.
Okay.
Because of the moisture, it's allowing for moisture outdoor, and it's carbon fiber, so it's the tensile strength is pretty strong for the ASA carbon fiber.
Your print volume is what? Like 350 millimeters by 350 by 350. It's a lot of small parts.
Yeah, it is actually. So I've designed it in a way where, so think of it as like the exoskeleton. So I'm building an exoskeleton of a plane.
Okay.
And then I'm creating a carbon fiber. So I'm using carbon fiber cloth, but I'm using it and I have this process, this kind of build process of carbon fiber cloth where I'm infused with resin in a very unique manufacturing way inside my condo, and I'm building this all within my condo.
Okay. That's, you know, you got to do what you got to do, I guess.
So you don't have a garage or a man cave or even a small shed?
No, why would I need all that? I just have a condo with high ceilings, and I'm like, this is perfect. It's already about 15 feet tall, so
yeah.
I have a 15-foot-tall plane fuselage sitting in my living room right now.
I've
actually moved my living room into a second bedroom.
Okay, and in order to get it out the apartment, you're just going to throw it out the window and fly it down? I mean, it doesn't fit through any doorway.
That sounds actually pretty nice. That'd be actually a nice way to get it down.
little rubber band catapult to give you a shot.
I was going to say, make it a big rubber band catapult.
Yeah, I'm going to sling it out. Yeah.
So you've actually got your whole fuselage printed already.
Well, pretty much. I still have a little bit of my favorite part, sanding. I have a lot of sanding to do still on carbon fiber. I'm kind of a perfectionist when it comes to details. So
Okay. Instead
of looking rough, I'm sanding down and want to make it look nice. Because if it doesn't fly right, at least it'll look nice before whatever
happens.
Yeah,
you can make a gate guard out of it and put it on your balcony.
Yeah. I got to take nice pictures. You know, we live in a social media world. Got to look nice at least. So
that's right.
Let me make it look nice. But I'm going to lower it down from my top floor all the way to the ground at midnight so nobody sees it. None of my neighbors see it.
How many floors are we talking about here?
Oh, we're about 8 floors up. So, yeah, I got to lower it in 8 floors.
Wow. I can't imagine nobody's going to notice that go by the window.
Yeah.
I got to go like Batman at night with this thing. So I'm just going to be lowering it down.
So I want you to get a boombox, and I want you to loop the Mission Impossible theme while you're doing it, all right?
Don't worry. I'll film it for sure.
You better.
Either that or Batman theme, you know?
Okay. Weight is everything, as you well know. What kind of infill percentages are you running? I'm assuming since you're overcoating everything with carbon fiber, you're not relying on your 3D structure for that much strength.
So yes and no. Okay, so I'm not, since it's the exoskeleton, basically it's like the framing of it.
Right.
So the framing is quite thin. How I've designed it is, it's very important how you place things on a 3D printer. If I print tall, like height wise,
right,
it could snap very easily because the layer lines obviously have breaking points. So in designing every single piece for this and the side structures, everything, I have to. Also, when I'm designing it, I have to think about how it's being laid down on the 3D printer.
Yes.
So I get the maximum strength for that. So these parts will interconnect. I have, there's a lot of some stainless steel rods that are about 3 millimeter that go in between the pieces. I have carbon fiber inlays between them. So the structure is, I would say it's pretty, I'm like, you know, when I first mess with it, when it's just its exoskeleton not fully sealed up, you think you would look at it and be like, this thing's breaking in a million pieces. But then once I put the carbon fiber, once it's all settled in there, rinse it, it's extremely sturdy. I mean, I don't want to jinx this right now. Okay, I'm going to say it's very weak right now, just so I don't jinx it right now. But
right.
It actually is very strong for what it is. And I have a very specific process that I kind of like, created. I don't know if this has been done before, but with my carbon fibering, because I'm creating carbon fiber sheets. And that's, I'm cutting those out and putting them inserted into the exoskeleton. And I've made it a very, I would say a very low poly shape, like a F-117 on purpose because
I can, are easier to work with.
Exactly. Right. And it can reduce build time on it. And I can create this much faster because I'm only one person. I have to design the entire plane from scratch. I have to build it all from scratch. I have to basically innovate every part. And it's kind of all me from start to finish. And I want to do it from start to where it'll finish will be about less than 10 months or something like that.
That's amazing. What's your background? It sounds like you have an engineering background.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. No. I'm just a guy that can visualize things in my head. And if I believe it, I can make it happen. Like, you know, I've always kind of seen like problems in things. I always see problems, whether it's a phone, whether it's electronics. I don't know. Maybe it's everyone that sees it, but
you're a savant. Yeah, we'll give you that.
Maybe. Like, I just like to solve problems. It doesn't have to be aircraft. You know, I've built stuff in my cars. I've built cars before. I've built electronics. I've built, you know, things that look good. I've done my own bag collection, like luxury bags and stuff like that. So I like to, like.
Okay, you sounds like you are all over the place. You move fast.
I do. My ADHD goes really crazy. Yeah, so yes, I'm trying exactly. to just solve all the problems. And, you know, but one thing is fascinating because I always liked. When I was doing the plane stuff, I kind of discovered the Part 103, and I'm like, wait a second. No license, nothing like this. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, but in simple terms, I'm like, you know what? I'm looking at the planes that are being built, and I go, you know, I think I can make something that can get people excited to fly. And I've never flown a plane. I've been in, you know, small planes and stuff like that before, but I always see a challenge, and I go, you know, if I think I could do it, I'm going to go for it. And whether it fails or not, that's how I learn the most. And I truly do believe that I can create something that someone can look at and be like, that's really cool looking, but it also fits within the Part 103 and fits the weight category and does everything that it needs to do.
Okay. Have you thought about an engine yet?
So there has been a couple, and I have designed this so it can be interchangeable. So whether or not I truly want to go electric. So there's a couple ideas. Engine wise, because I want to create a ducted EDF, a large ducted EDF
right.
for this. Because I've built a lot of drones back in my day. I've designed my own drones, all this stuff. And I've had some drone strikes with my hands. So I have nice scars from that.
Oh, nice.
And I can only... I could only imagine what like a 5-foot blade would do to my finger or hand or body. So I'm like, you know, I think I'm want to keep this a ducted EDF.
There you
and
go.
It just looks sleeker. I haven't seen this done. I mean, it's very ambitious, but with some more research, and I've spent countless nights falling asleep thinking about how I can maximize thrust and all this other stuff while staying within range. There's a company called VasiFan. I don't know if you've ever heard of it,
no.
But they produce one of the largest EDFs. It's a 570 millimeter EDF, producing about 350 pounds of thrust.
Wow.
And now keep in mind, this is they're running an 80 kilowatt motor
exactly.
on this to produce that. So you need obviously that, but the initial settings, okay, this can be done with a 570 millimeter EDF. Okay. So I have that now motor wise. Now the e-bike scene, I've been part of this e-bike scene for a while. I understand what's possible. You have like, I don't know if you've ever heard of like a Starkvarg. Electric bike?
Nope.
Or maybe a Suron?
Not in this country.
Okay.
I haven't seen it anyway.
Okay. So there's like Starkvargs. They're like an 80 horsepower electric dirt bike.
Okay.
That people can ride on the street. Kind of crazy. But, and then there's like the Surons. So these are already components. Now I could just transfer these components from e-bikes, powerful e-bikes into a large EDF platform.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like my starting ground. Now there's other,
say,
I can use a motor.
To start.
Yeah. Yeah. And now there's this other way that I'm also thinking, which is, okay, do I put a motorcycle engine in this? Do I get like a 400cc Kawasaki engine? Because I want it to sound how it looks.
Right.
I don't want it to sound like an old Beetle while it looks like a futuristic, spacecraft
yeah.
almost. I wanted to sound give a. I want to give a feeling of this, like a.
Okay. Evan, I hate to cut you off, but we're running
okay,
out of time.
Ahead.
Listen, how do we follow your project?
Okay, go to Error by Human on YouTube, and you can see everything. I have some multi-part series. I'm going to drop another video here in about a week or so. That will be the fuselage showing you.
Okay.
It's about 15 feet tall right now, so you can see it there.
Great. Sounds fantastic. We expect to see you here with an airplane next year.
Okay. I hope so, too. Or hopefully you see me. That's basically, that's the first.
That's
hopefully
a start.
You see me. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Evan. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
This
Thank
is Digital
you so much.
Dave.
Thanks, guys.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and
this is
EAA Radio.